Okay, good morning. Welcome to our online friends. It's so great to have you with us today. So glad that you could join us here at Christian Life Community Church in Newville. If you are in the area, just as a little reminder here, and you don't have a home church of your own, we would love to have you join us here on a Sunday morning. Our gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And for more information on our church, feel free to go to our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. God bless you. It is so great to have you with us today. I just want to remind us, before I kind of get into the message this morning, that Pastor Van and Pastor Steph really kind of spoke some vision, spoke some direction, spoke the word of the Lord over us at the beginning of the year. Remember this word, make ready, that Pastor Van was sharing with us. And Pastor Steph was sharing so generously. Amen. I think that is critical for us to circle back around to that from time to time and to keep that, not on the back burner, but to keep that right here, something that we're focused on, that we are making ready. We are making preparations for what the move of God that He wants to do, not only in this house, but in this greater region as well. We are making ready for a powerful, mighty move of God. We're not just showing up to punch our time clock on a Sunday morning. Well, I can check that off my list. I went to church today. No. It's so much more than that. I love what happens when we come together on Sunday mornings. Just the fellowship, the camaraderie. I saw Violet was praying for our sister here earlier, and just that kind of stuff happens. That is so sweet. It's so important. And yet there's more that God wants to do. We are making ready for a move of God. And part of that, the Lord has given us His strategy. He's encouraging us. He's exhorting us. He's motivating us to sow generously. Now's not a time to be a hoarder. Now's not a time to hold to yourself. Now's a time to sow generously, whether that's financial, whether that's relational, whether that's the neighbor down the street that you've never talked to, but you've felt Holy Spirit nudge you a time or two to go approach them. Now's the time to step out and sow generously into that neighbor's life. And who knows what God can do through that. Amen? And so I just want to remind us that we are making ready and that for us to sow generously. Amen. And of course, I have been thrilled. You know that we've been going through this transition period where Pastor Steve has been kind of decreasing and Pastor Van and Pastor Steph are more fully stepping into that co-lead pastor position. And the whole transition has been very good. Communication has been great. And I just so appreciate you, Pastor Steph and Pastor Van. I'm so proud of you guys. Ew.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it is when you talk about family, you know? And I'm so thankful for you. You are a gift to this house. So we appreciate you. Why don't we just give her a thank you? Pastor Van is down with the kids this morning. Otherwise, we'd pull him into that as well. Okay. Pastor Van had communion with us last week. And when he closed in prayer, he prayed something along the lines that we would express the love of God to those in this community, that they would experience His love through us. How many of you know the love of God will transform somebody's life? How many can say, it transformed my life? Amen. And we get to be a conduit through which His love can flow through and to others and affect them in the way that we've been affected. We can freely receive and then we can freely give that love to others. I want to share with us this morning about the love nature of God and us. The love nature of God and us. And of course, when you talk about the love of God, a very easy place to start is a very familiar passage of Scripture that we all know. We've all memorized from little up, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God is a God of love. It is in his nature to love. It would be weird if God didn't love. I would say it would be impossible for him not to love. Right? That's who he is. God is a God of love. And not only that, he lets us know in many places throughout Scripture, we're going to look at a few of them here this morning, that it is his priority. If you want to turn with me to Mark chapter 12, we're going to look at a quick couple verses there. Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him," meaning asked Jesus, "which is the first commandment of all?" Verse 29, "Jesus answered him and said, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And so Jesus, who again is the perfect expression of Father God, Jesus says the priority, what comes first, is love God and love others, right? It is God's nature to love, and it is his priority to love. It's the first and second commands, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love him with everything. Don't hold back. Love him with everything you have, with everything you are. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is his nature and it is his priority, not only for himself, but for we, his sons and daughters as well, to love. It is in the nature of God to love. Not only is it his nature, not only is it something that he does, not only is it a priority to him, he literally is love. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So it is his nature. It is something that he does. He loves. It is his priority. So it's not only the nature of God to love. It's not only his priority. It's who he is, literally. God is love. And so knowing that, let's flip to what's commonly referred to as the love chapter. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for just a minute. I know we're visiting a lot of different places in Scripture this morning. As Pastor Al used to say, we're flipping through the white pages this morning, people. So, you know, we talk about love, and you know, you've heard people say before, that word love gets tossed around so much, like, you know, I love God, and I love my dog, and I love pizza, and we use love for so many different things, right? Let's see what the Word of God has to say about love. Whenever God describes love, how does he put it? So we're here in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's start with verse 4. It says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And so this God that we're in relationship in with, who literally is love, could we substitute God in for love and read it that way? I think we can, right? Because is this a good description of who this living God is? God suffers long and is kind. Would you go along with that? Amen. God does not behave rudely. God does not seek his own, is not provoked. God thinks no evil. Verse 6, God does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. God bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. Verse 8, God never fails. I like that. That's a description of my Lord. That's a description of my God. He's a God of love. It's his nature to love. Now, how does that apply to us? I'm glad you asked. Let's flip back to Genesis chapter 1. Remember, Jesus is the perfect expression of Father God, right? And whenever we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, Scripture tells us that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And I would submit to us that our nature changes, that our priorities change, and literally who we are changes. We didn't just, as Dan Moeller would say, we didn't just pray a prayer to go to heaven someday. Something much greater than that happened. We are a new creation. Amen? So here in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, this is part of the creation story. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Yeah. Amen. We are made in the image and likeness of God. That was his intent. That was his design from the beginning. Let us make man in our image. Referring to the Trinity of the Godhead. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why it says our there. Let us make man in our image. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Now, of course, as we read this story further, we know that sin entered the picture, right? And that changed mankind's identity, right? We were no longer in relationship with God the way that he intended us to be. The wages of sin is death, right? The separation that happened. Although God still loved us completely, there was a separation that happened as a result of our sin, and it actually affected us, our identity. But when Jesus came, and we see the finished work on the cross that he accomplished on our behalf, again, when we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we receive forgiveness of sins, and much more than that, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we are restored back to God's original intent. We are restored to this garden experience, if I can put it that way, that Adam and Eve had with God, and how he would come to them in the cool of the night and walk with them. And there was no separation in their relationship. There was only connection. And they walked as those who were in the image and likeness of their Creator, of their God. And through Jesus, when we're in Christ, we are restored to that. Amen? We are in the image and likeness of God. Well, what is the image of God? What is the nature of God? We've been talking about it this morning. His nature is to love. And so what will our nature be? To love. We're like our daddy, right? People tell me all the time, oh, your boys look like you. Yeah, that's right, because I'm their daddy, right? They're going to resemble their father. Likewise, we're going to resemble our Heavenly Father. We're created in the image and likeness of God Almighty. And so if God loves, it'll be our nature to love. If it's God's priority to love, it'll be our priority to love. Amen? We're created in the image and likeness of God. Now, I know this is going to challenge us, but let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. And we read it through first. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. And we said, this God who says that he is love, we substituted God in for love. And we read it, God suffers long, God is kind, God does not envy. Well, listen, if we're created in the image and likeness of God, what is true of him is true of us as well. This is our true identity. We are people of God, so we are people of love. This is who we are. This is our nature, is to love. So let's put us in there. Let's say we, because this is our true identity. We're created in the image and likeness of God. Jesus restored us to that. And so we can say confidently, we suffer long. We are kind. We do not envy. We do not parade ourselves. We are not puffed up. It's not in our nature to be arrogant, to be puffed up. It's in our nature to be humble, right? We don't behave rudely. We don't seek our own. We are not provoked. We think no evil. We do not rejoice in iniquity, but we rejoice in the truth. We bear all things. We believe all things. We hope all things. We endure all things. We never fail. That's our identity in Christ, in Jesus. That's who we are. And you say, well, Kurt, I hear what you're saying, but I don't always act that way. Okay. You see me today, and I can walk around, and I don't have any problems. I'm not stumbling or falling over. That was not the case when I was 2 years old, right? I grew in some stuff. And so this is our identity. This is who we are. And I believe as we continue to renew our minds in our true identity, as those who were created in the image and likeness of God, and although sin tainted that, Jesus restored me to that identity. And as I renew my mind in that, and as I grow more and more in that understanding, what will manifest naturally in my life? I will suffer long. I will be kind. I will not envy. As I choose to believe who God says I am, I will more and more better reflect his nature. Amen? But if I walk around all day saying, oh, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm a dirty sinner. I'm no good. If we walk around saying that all the time, what are we going to manifest? Dirty sin. Yeah. Yep. Listen, let's sow generously into this. Let's renew our minds in this. It's not based on what we've done. It's totally based on the grace of God. It's based on the power of the gospel. It's based on the extravagance of Jesus Christ coming to take our place on a cross and restoring us to who we were always created to be, sons and daughters in the image and likeness of God. Amen? Amen. And as we give ourselves to that, as we make ready, there will be so many opportunities for us to share that good news with others. And the transformation that we've gone through, now we can share with others. That's exciting. I think that's amazing. I think that's the heart of God as well. Okay, I'm going to close with Luke chapter 10. And I know my sons are probably rolling their eyes. Doesn't mean anything when Dad says he's closing. Closing could go on another half hour. Ryan's shaking his head. So what does that look like when we walk in our true identity as those that are in the image and likeness of God, as those who are sons and daughters of love, as those who it's our nature to love, it's our priority to love, it's who we are? This is what it looks like. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. This is a very good example. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit life, eternal life?' And he said to him," this is what Jesus says, "'what is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself.' And Jesus said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.'" Verse 29, "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus told him the story." Verse 30, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves?" And of course, the obvious answer is the Samaritan. The priest and the Levite, they couldn't be bothered with this guy that was half dead. And they walked to the other side and kept on going. "Oh, my schedule's too busy. Oh, I don't have time for this. Oh, I don't know. He looks like one of those guys. But the Samaritan walked in the nature of love. And he came to this man's aid. And he attended to him. And he bandaged his wounds. And took him to a place that was safe, where he could be warm and get a good night's sleep. And he paid money for all this as well. This man walked in love. That's what it looks like whenever we walk in our true nature, our nature of love. We'll take time out of our busy schedule to attend to somebody who's in need. That's what it will practically look like. So the lawyer answered him and said it was he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And that's what the Lord says to us today. Go and do likewise. Not that we're striving to do something. Not that it's a checklist. And I say, "Well, I helped this guy that was in need, did that." No, it's flowing out of who we are. It's because we're walking in our true identity as sons and daughters who are in the likeness and image of God. It just comes out of us, right? It's like you plant an apple seed and an apple comes up and it produces apples, right? The seed of Jesus is planted in us And it, as we renew our minds in that and understand, it's just going to manifest, it's just going to come out of us. And it's going to be a beautiful thing, not only affecting us, but affecting many others for the kingdom as well. Amen? So I just want to encourage us and exhort us to walk in our true identity as sons and daughters of love and allow that love to just flow through us. Amen? Will you all stand with me as we close? I really encourage each one of us to go over 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and put I in place of love. That's who we are. That's our true identity. We're children of love, and we're going to look like love and manifest love in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are a God of love, amazing love. You so loved each one of us that you were willing to pay a very, very high price for each one of us. And so, Lord, we recognize that we are children of love. And Lord, help us to walk in that more and more each day, that we would manifest love in every situation that we are in. That description of love in the love chapter in Corinthians would just manifest in our lives as we understand our true identity more and more and more. Father, we thank you that you are faithful to complete the good work that you have started in each one of us. And that includes walking in love. And so we bless you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that you planted in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would cause it to grow and be very, very fruitful for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.